Long, and this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Andrew Smith reports on communities in California preparing for floods from melting snow. Brian Lynn has a story about American skateboarders combining skating and dance. Faith Perlow answers a question about the difference between swine, pigs, and hogs. Later, we present two children's stories by Carl Sandburg about how the letter X got into the alphabet. But first,
this winter, the U.S. state of California received unusually large amounts of rain and snow. Now, people worry that some areas will flood as the snow in the Sierra Nevada mountains melts. Ron Catano lives about halfway between the cities of Los Angeles and San Francisco. He is preparing to leave in case his community, called the Island District, floods. "The water is coming this way," said Catano, who started a Facebook group to help organize his neighbors. "I am preparing for the worst and praying for the best, and that's all we can do." More than 100 years ago, the Island District area was under a large lake named Tulare Lake. At one time, Tulare Lake was the largest freshwater lake west of the Mississippi River, but dams and watering systems for agriculture caused it to disappear. However, in very rainy years, farmland can still get covered with water. Experts say reservoirs near the area will likely receive 3 times more water than they can hold this year. That means officials must increase the amount of water they release from the reservoirs. If too much water is released, the area might flood. The Island District has organized a community network to prepare for floods. People are placing sandbags on elderly neighbors' property to block possible flooding. And they are looking at reports from water officials, county officials, and from each other. Tony Oliveira is a former county supervisor and the network's administrator. His family has lived in the area for generations. He said he remembers moving cattle and horses when the rains came in 1983, and will do the same this time if necessary. California has had very dry weather in recent years. Both cities and farm communities welcomed this year's winter rains. If the weather gets warmer slowly, the snow will not melt quickly, and there may be little or no flooding. But if the weather gets hot quickly, that will bring trouble from too much melting snow. Officials announced plans to temporarily close parts of Yosemite National Park starting on April 28th because of threats of flooding. The park is about 270 kilometers east of San Francisco in the Sierra Nevada Mountains. Nicholas Pinter is with the University of California Davis Center for Watershed Sciences. He said the lake's size has always changed because of California's weather. He said farmers have known there would be times like the current situation. He described the surrounding area this way. "It has been an engineering problem all along," he said. "This is a bathtub with no drain." I'm Andrew Smith.
Some American skateboarders are creating new moves by combining longboarding and dance. This version of the activity is already popular in Southern California. It has also become popular in cities like Paris, France, and Seoul, South Korea. Reporters from the Associated Press recently spoke with some skaters about the unusual activity. The AP described it as bringing together skating and dance, with a little danger as well. Hannah Dooling told the AP she often joins friends in Santa Monica near Los Angeles, where they enjoy longboard dancing and doing tricks. Longboards started out as a way for surfers to keep in shape when they were not in the water. They are longer than traditional skateboards. The added length can be more difficult to move with, but many skaters say they can be more graceful on a longboard. Today, skaters use longboards to make sidewalk turns and bomb hills. They also use them for longboard dancing. Dooling, who is 30 years old, showed off some of her moves during a recent night in an empty parking lot in Santa Monica. She was joined by her 33-year-old friend, Yun Huang, and Jane Kong and Christy Goodman. Kong and Goodman are both 29. Everyone in the group wore wide-leg pants and flat-bottom shoes for riding. The friends get together most Saturday and Sunday afternoons if the weather is nice. The meetups are supported by the Dancing Foundation. The nonprofit group started with assistance from American technology company Google. The organization was started by Ashila Brighton, a 39-year-old software engineer. Longboard dance is still quite young, but Brighton told the AP it has already spread worldwide, from Southern California to Paris to Seoul. He said those places have public squares and a lot of open spaces where people can watch the skaters. "You don't need skate parks, you just need roads," Brighton said. "And because you do it in public, you're out there, people see it, and they're like, 'Oh, that's kind of cool.'" Dooling was one of the first to try longboard dancing. She learned to skate in the northwestern city of Seattle, Washington. Now she works remotely for the technology company Amazon in Los Angeles. Dooling said she did not know anybody when she first moved to the area with her partner in 2021 during the COVID-19 pandemic. Through skating, she said, she found a community. Huang, a native of Melbourne, Australia, started skating during the pandemic. Some days, her board and her dog were the only things that would get her outdoors and moving. "We were all kind of depressed from COVID," she told the AP. "I tried meditation before. That didn't work for me, but I felt like I could really be in the zone with this." Brighton said he thinks one thing that ties together longboarding and longboard dancing is danger. "You might miss a step. You might fall. You might get hurt," he said. "And that's the exciting bit." I'm Brian Lynn.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we will answer a question about the difference between swine, pigs, and hogs. Dear teacher, I am Ken from China. I am one loyal reader for VOA. So glad to write an email to you again. I am just confused by three words: pig, hog, and swine. I sincerely hope to know their differences. Thanks a lot. Thanks for writing to us again, Ken. This is a great question. I am not a farm animal expert, as I grew up in a small city. But a family member, my niece, Amanda, grew up on a farm with many pigs and hogs. So I asked her for some help. Let's start with swine. Swine is an older term that is mainly used in agriculture today. The term describes all animals that are pig-like, short-bodied, short-legged, thick-skinned, and that have a large snout or nose. You may see the word swine in old sayings, stories, and readings. The idiom, "Do not cast pearls before swine," means do not offer valuable things to people who will not appreciate them. In English, calling a person a swine is a big insult. In agriculture, the term is still widely used, for example, in the term swine flu. In the United States, pigs and hogs are different to farmers. A pig is the term that is most often used for all members of the family of animals, with the scientific name Suidae. Charlotte's Web is a book about the friendship between a spider and a pig named Wilbur. In farming, a pig refers to either a young swine or one that weighs less than 113 kilograms. Pigs are not often used for their meat or for breeding until they are much older or bigger. Some people in the U.S. have miniature or teacup pigs as pets because of their small size. Hogs, on the other hand, are large and weigh over 113 kilograms. Hogs are raised for their meat or for breeding. Brianne's family raises hogs on their farm. There is another kind of animal called a pig that is not really a pig. Guinea pigs are small mammals that are members of the rodent family. They are called guinea pigs because they could be bought for a guinea, a gold coin that was used in Britain more than 200 years ago. They also look a little like small pigs with short legs and small bodies. I have two guinea pigs, Nina and Niblets. Pigs are a touchy subject in a lot of cultures around the world. Jewish and Muslim people consider them religiously unclean. Comparing people to pigs or swine is a big insult in many places. While in East Asia, pigs are considered to have good qualities and are well-liked. So, like many things, there are big differences in how people see things, depending on where they are and who they are with. Please let us know if these explanations and examples have helped you, Ken. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Faith Perlow.
That was Faith Perlow with this week's Ask a Teacher. Welcome back to the show, Faith.
Thanks, Dan. This week's question from Ken, a listener in China, was all about pigs, hogs, and swine in general. I even included guinea pigs in the answer. Do you know what pigs and guinea pigs have in common?
What's that?
They are both used as livestock in different parts of the world.
But don't you have guinea pigs as pets, Faith?
I do, Dan. I'm not raising them as livestock. But in some countries in South America, like Peru and Bolivia, they are raised for their meat, much like pigs in the United States.
Did you know that pigs are really smart? Some research studies have found that they're actually smarter than dogs.
I knew that they were smart, but I didn't realize that they might be smarter than dogs. Another trait that both pigs and guinea pigs share is that they are both really social animals.
So you're saying they like being in groups?
Yes. I'm not sure about pigs on a farm, but for guinea pigs, it is best to keep them with another guinea pig so they can run around and play. They even interact and talk with each other, making little guinea pig sounds.
I can see why they call them pigs. They seem to share many traits. Pigs on a farm oink, make grunting sounds, and can even bark. Anyway, thanks for sharing that information, Faith. See you next week.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Today, we tell two stories that come from Rutabaga Pigeons, a book for children by American writer Carl Sandburg. Sandburg won 3 Pulitzer Prizes, 2 for his poetry, and another for a history of President Abraham Lincoln. His most famous poems are about Chicago, where he worked as a reporter for a time. Rutabaga Pigeons was published in 1923. The stories make liberal use of repetition and nonsense words. These tales use a mixture of poetic words and language linked to rural parts of America. Such words include oyster, the name of an ocean animal, axe, a tool used to split wood, and timber, wood that is used in building. Sandburg wrote 3 stories about how the letter X got into the alphabet. Today, we present 2 of them. Here is Mario Ritter Jr. with the stories Pig Wisps and Kiss Me by Carl Sandburg.
There was an oyster king far in the south who knew how to open oysters and pick out the pearls. He grew rich, and all kinds of money came rolling in on him because he was a great oyster opener and knew how to pick out the pearls. The son of this oyster king was named Shovel Ears, and it was hard for him to remember. He knows how to open oysters, but he forgets to pick out the pearls, said the father of Shovel Ears. He is learning to remember worse and worse, and to forget better and better, said the father of Shovel Ears. Now in that same place was a little girl with two braids of hair twisted down her back, making a playful face and saying, "Here we come, where from?" And her mother called her Pig Wisps. Twice a week, Pig Wisps ran to the butcher shop for a soup bone. Before starting, she crossed her fingers, and then the whole way to the butcher shop kept her fingers crossed. If she saw playmates who asked her to a game like cross tag or jackstones or all around the mulberry bush, she told them, "My fingers are crossed, and I am running to the butcher shop for a soup bone." One morning, running to the butcher shop, she bumped into a big, strange boy and knocked him flat on the sidewalk. "Did you look where you were running?" she asked him. "I forgot again," said Shovel Ears. "I remember worse and worse. I forget better and better." "Cross your fingers like this," said Pig Wisps, showing him how. He ran to the butcher shop with her, watching her keep her fingers crossed until the butcher gave her the soup bone. "After I get it, then the soup bone reminds me to go home with it," she told him. "But until I get the soup bone, I keep my fingers crossed." Shovel Ears went to his father and began helping his father open oysters. Shovel Ears kept his fingers crossed to make him remember to pick out the pearls. He picked 100 buckets of pearls the first day and brought his father the longest slippery shiny rope of pearls ever seen in that oyster country. "How do you do it?" his father asked. "It is the crossed fingers like this," said Shovel Ears, crossing his fingers like the letter X. "This is the way to remember better and forget worse." It was then the Oyster King went and told the people who changed the alphabets just what happened. When the people who changed the alphabets heard, they decided to put in a new letter, the letter X, near the end of the alphabet, the sign of the crossed fingers. On the day Pig Wisps and Shovel Ears were to marry, the people who changed the alphabets all came to the ceremony with their fingers crossed. Pig Wisps and Shovel Ears stood up at the ceremony. They crossed their fingers. They told each other they would remember their promises. And Pig Wisps had two ropes of pearls twisted down her back, making a playful face and saying, "Here we come, where from?" Many years ago, when pigs climbed chimneys and chased cats up into trees, there was a lumber king who lived in a river city with many wildcats in the timber nearby. The lumber king said, "I am losing my hair and my teeth,
and I am tired of many things. My only joy is a daughter who is a dancing shaft of light on the axe handles of morning. She was quick and wild, the lumber king's daughter. She had never kissed, not her mother, nor father, nor any sweetheart ever. Proud she was. They called her Kiss Me. She did not like that name, Kiss Me. They never called her that when she was listening. If she happened to be listening, they called her Find Me, Lose Me, Get Me. They never spoke of kisses because they knew she would run away. But when she was not listening, they asked, Where is Kiss Me today? Or they would say, Every morning Kiss Me gets more beautiful. I wonder if she will ever get a kiss from a man good enough to kiss her. One day Kiss Me was lost. She went out on a horse with a gun to hunt wildcats in the forest. She was gone all day. All night she was out in a snowstorm with a horse and a gun hunting wildcats. The blowing snow was worse on the second day. It was then the lumber king called in a long, loose young man with a leather face and hay in his hair. The king said, Flax Eyes, you are the laziest, most careless man in the river lumber country. Go out in the snowstorm now, among the wildcats, where Kiss Me is fighting for her life, and save her. I am the hero. I am the man who knows how. I am the man who has been waiting for this chance, said Flax Eyes. On a horse with a gun, out into the snowstorm, Flax Eyes rode that day. Far away he rode to where Kiss Me, the quick wild Kiss Me, was standing with her back against a big rock, fighting off the wildcats. In that country, the snowstorms make the wildcats wilder. And Kiss Me was tired of shooting wildcats, tired of fighting in the snow, and almost ready to let the wildcats have her. Then Flax Eyes came. The wildcats jumped at him, and he threw them off. More wildcats came, jumping straight at his face. He took hold of those wildcats by the necks and threw them over the big rock, up into the trees, away into the snow and the wind. At last, he took all the wildcats one by one and threw them so far they could not return. He put Kiss Me on her horse, rode back to the lumber king, and said, lazy and careless, This is us. The lumber king saw the face of Flax Eyes was all covered with cross marks, like the letter X. And the lumber king saw the wildcats had torn the shirt off Flax Eyes, and on the skin of his chest, shoulders, arms, were the cross marks of the wildcat's claws. Cross marks like the letter X. So the king went to the people who changed the alphabets, and they put the cross marks of the wildcat's claws, the letter X, near the end of the alphabet. At the wedding of Kiss Me and Flax Eyes, the people who changed the alphabets came with wildcat claws crossed, just like the letter X.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.